A Few Goldilocks Bears podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about things we love, things that we hate, and things in the middle. This could be things that we're indifferent about, that we're ambivalent about, that we're on the fence about. These are the gray areas of life. These are the things that aren't in the black and white, that they don't maintain to your precious polar opposites.
Hello, I am Vincent Cloud.
I'm John Nemeth.
And I'm David Lauer.
Hello. And you know what? Sometimes
what?
we leave a topic in the past, but then we got to bring it back again. And we call that a deja vu. And I've got one of those right now. Actually, this came up as a topic I wanted to revisit when I was looking at a past episode that was posted. And Vince, you put the topic as having opinions on things you know nothing about.
Oh.
And that was not what I meant the topic to be. And
but you changed it for the website. I did
change
right?
it. Yeah. Yes. So I meant it more of things that we definitely talked about that as a subset of it, things that you know nothing about. But like the first two examples, I think are things I know about. Like I know a lot about, you know, cooking meat properly. And, you know, I know a lot about Christianity and religion just from my upbringing and having, you know, studied the Bible and whatnot. But my point was more like, it just does not affect me in any way that I should care at all how other people are doing those things. Yet I'm still like, oh, you know, like you shouldn't overcook that chicken, or, you know, like you should think about Jesus in this way, not that way.
Yeah, I sometimes our topics are so wordy, but then we sometimes change it while we're talking about it. And that was just for the YouTube channel, and no one watches our YouTube shit. I don't even know why we record video at all, really. It should all just be audio. But yeah, but for the actual website, it was changed to having no stake in. And again, every time though, every time I put something wrong, go ahead and change it for the actual website, because that's where it counts the most. Yeah.
Well, you know, just had to get that off my chest.
I have no stake in this matter, but I'm gonna tell you what I think about it. I think you guys are overreacting a lot. You just need to calm down. Okay, that's what I would do.
Should we get the show started? Because I got a love for you guys. Or no.
Yeah, you sure. Love us? That's so sweet.
Yeah, but on top of that, I have this topic where I love Art Deco. You know, I've seen some movies like The Shadow, Batman. You know, there's the old Superman cartoons where there's these giant, the style of the buildings just gigantic and all these crazy like curves over everything. But when you go inside, that was where the style really pops. There's these designs put into, like, a lot of effort put into these designs. Everything is designed within an inch of its life to this visual whatever. So I don't know architecture. I don't know how to talk about it really. So I'm going to try my best. But like, there's great use of gold and silver. There's also like things made out of marble. I think there's some ivory in there, jade, you know, like these unusual materials made in this style. And I think it started with the 20s, like the roaring, the 1920s, the roaring 20s, right? Where it was all like decadence and stuff. And you could totally see it with all the interior design. I don't really care for the fashions that they wore within this time period, but I'd love the inside stuff. It's so luxurious and it's glamorous. There's a lot of like repeated patterns and stuff, and like the designs for you video watchers, John and Dave both have examples of this stuff, and I don't know how to describe it, but there's the curves, there's lots of lines, and shapes, long shapes in these designs. I think the most famous Art Deco building is the Chrysler building. Again, it has those curves going up, stacked on top of each other. Yeah, I would like to know what you guys think about Art Deco.
Yeah, I'm a fan also. I guess I've never thought too much about it, but it's an aesthetic that's always been very pleasing to me. And yeah, I guess I wouldn't know how to describe it either, but you know it when you see it. Like yeah, a lot of arches, I guess, is one thing. Vibrant colors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like when I saw Art Deco, I was just like, I have no idea what Art Deco is. And then I did a Google image search and I was like, okay, I get this style. And yeah, it was like started in the 1920s through like the 1950s or something. It reminds me of like the TV show Mad Men. There's just like they're in New York City and everything is like Art Deco and it's very like luxurious. I do like Art Deco a lot. However, my background is not Art Deco. It's Gothic architecture. Because
No.
Gothic architecture is the best to me, all right?
Wow, we got a
Gothic is old school.
contractor.
Yeah. So, like, I love Art Deco, but Gothic is the architecture for me. The picture behind me, if you're watching the video, it's of the Cologne Cathedral in Cologne, Germany. And it was like it started to be built in like 1248, like really long time ago. And it's like they kind of rebuilt it in the 1800s to kind of what it is today. But I really love like any type of older architecture just looks awesome because I think modern architecture nowadays, it's just cheap drywall and plastic, and it's minimalist in every way, and it's so unsatisfying art-wise because like you just look at like if they build a new McDonald's, there's no color to it. It's just like a square box. It's all just like browns or whites or grays. There's no color to anything. Yeah, it's just like looking back at other art styles, it just there's they look so amazing. And then to compare it to like nowadays, you're like, man, like how did we fall off so hard? Like even in the 80s, stuff was cool back in the 80s, and in just like 40 years, everything's really gone to shit.
Well, wasn't so when was the depression? The depression. When was that?
In the 30s.
Oh, I meant my depression, and it was in
Oh,
the
in your 30s.
30s. Okay, so I had the theory, and it might not hold water the more I think about it, but like, the roaring 20s, everything had that crazy grand look. And then the depression happens. Did people feel guilty about looking so decadent anymore? Like, were they just kind of like slapped on the wrist so hard of the depression where they're like, oh, never mind. Maybe we shouldn't be so over the top about stuff. I don't know. That was like my one theory why that kind of is out now. So bizarre. Because, like, for a thriving economy, I think of this, because again, the material and like the effort put into everything that you see, like with this, Dave, you said this is Gothic, right? Your
Yeah.
building behind you. I thought Gothic is at least derived from Art Deco. I mean, I think of Gotham, Batman's Gotham, and I think of like if I look at that building behind you, all that care, all that detail and work put into all of that is totally Art Deco to me. I don't know.
Well, it'd be the other way around. Like Gothic architecture predated
Oh, did it?
Art Deco. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sure, yeah, Art Deco had a lot of influence
You're just
from
throwing us off so much, Dave, by having that building.
the It's the chicken or the egg. I like Gothic was around because I think it goes Gothic and then like Victorian and then Art Deco.
Really? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Architecture and style and fashion, I'm not opposed to it. I am kind of more open to those ideas. But yeah, I'm glad I was able to talk about some Art Deco. It looks so cool. Oh, there's so many, like there's even designs on the floor, you know? Like there was always some sort of thing you could look at, some sort of pattern. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is true of like a lot of these styles we're talking about, but I just think of like when you go and look at like a Gothic building or something, there's just so much detail everywhere that your brain can't even take it all in. It's just like, wow, which like intricate thing that took a craftsman, years of his life to build, do I want to look at first for 3 seconds and then, move on.
Yeah, I love the way you put that because it's like your brain can't process it all because there's like so much detail to it where you just have to like pick piece by piece like what you're gonna pay attention to. Like you just pick one thing and then you can just stare at that one little thing. And then you like have to move your eyes over to something else, and then you can kind of deconstruct all of the detail that's in that piece. And there's so much time and energy that would go into that. That like nowadays everything is just like mass produced and it's dumbed down to its simplest form that you don't like you miss out on the details like that. Like if you go to a furniture store nowadays and you look at like a bookshelf, it's just like this slab of wood, and like everything is just so cookie cutter basic that there's no style to it.
Real quick, what do you think our era of furniture architecture and stuff, what is that being called? It's not just modern, it has to be something else, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably not, but I don't know the answer to it.
Yeah, I think I love Art Deco. I don't really like the fashion. Dave, you mentioned, new stuff where it's like a lot of glass. There's a lot of love of glass and like office buildings and stuff where it's like, I don't know. I don't really know if I like that. I'd rather see some art. And that's what Art Deco is to me. It's just like, look at this stuff. So much attention to detail. It's very lovely. Segue challenge.
I mean, like all styles, Art Deco, otherwise this topic is going out of style and something new is going to take its place.
Yeah. Bring on the Frank Lloyd Wrights of the world. Is he a, what is he? I don't even know. I just know he's an architect. All right, go ahead, Dave.
Oh, I have something that really grinds my gears. I hate planned obsolescence. So, planned obsolescence is kind of the term that is used for like products that you would buy where the manufacturers they intentionally make it so it's like it's going to break down after a certain amount of usage. And it's not going to be like as durable and long lasting as it could be if they put in the actual like effort to do so. Planned obsolescence, it was first done probably like back in like the 1920s, or at least this is the first time I'm aware of it, with like light bulbs. And we've talked about light bulbs before, where like they could make them with a filament and like vacuum seal the glass so like a light bulb could last 100 years. But they choose not to. Like, they choose to use a weaker type of metal for the filament. That way, when you go to Walmart or Ace Hardware, there's always a million different types of light bulbs there because we're always having light bulbs burn out. even with like the more modern light bulbs, they say they're supposed to last for 5 to 7 years. I like some of them have for me, but some of them definitely haven't. Like there's a lot of other things that planned obsolescence has kind of bled into. Like with appliances in your house, like your refrigerator or your washer or dryer, it's like they will last, but it's like they're made of like certain like plastic parts or like a metal pulley or like a rubber pulley with like a metal thing holding on to it, but like eventually they'll just wear out and they'll break and they'll stop working. And it's like if you look at some of like the appliances from your like that they had in like the 1950s, it seemed like those things were like built like a tank. Like it was not gonna break. Like some of those old refrigerators were so like sturdy looking, like it wasn't ever gonna break. But like I had to take apart my refrigerator and I looked at the back of it and it's just the chintziest metal, the chintziest pieces of plastic. And like this is I don't know, like my refrigerator costs like $1,700. Like that's a lot of money. And just to see how like how cheap it is, it's I don't know, it's just very disappointing. It's just like something like with modern technology and like with companies nowadays, they're so profit driven that it's like bled into any type of thing that you get. Where like I swear like CD players and like CDs, I swear they knew those things would scratch and they would stop working. But they still made them anyways because they're like the cassette tapes, they're too durable. They'll last too long. Let's go with the CD player. It sounds better, but it'll break easier.
Maybe
Like, I don't
they
know.
saw the internet coming and they're like, let's just make these cheap because MP3s are so close.
Yeah. Like in like the iPhone, there's even something I was reading about today where they're talking about like not just like planned obsolescence where something will break, but like perceived obsolescence with technology or even with like clothing styles. They want people to perceive that it's like, well, this is kind of old and outdated because it's 2 or 3 years old. The newer one, it doesn't really like the new iPhone, it does all the same old stuff, but it looks a little different. And because there's like on the back, if you can see, there's three camera lenses instead of two. So it has to be better because there's three. And you just perceive like little differences as to meaning more than they really are in order to get you to buy the newer version of a product, even though it's probably the same or equally about the same.
Or even beyond that, like I had to buy a new phone because even though like my old one worked perfectly fine and I didn't want any new features or any new hardware or anything, but Google just stopped providing security updates for the old version. And like even if I was willing to take that risk, my employer wasn't. So like they wouldn't let me connect to any of the company apps or anything with a phone that had an insecure operating system on it. So, luckily I don't know if there's regulations or what, but like I think now they guarantee it at least to support it for 7 years, which was way longer than they did the previous ones. But this is a thing where there's literally nothing wrong with it, and they're just like, we don't feel like giving you guys updates anymore, so we'll just let that one disappear.
Let's talk about food. And one of the worst planned obsolescence would be zebra gum. That shit would lose its
Oh, that's
taste.
brilliant. Oh, yeah.
So eventually you just consume the entire pack, within minutes.
Oh man, but that 3 seconds where it was flavorful, that was the best flavor on the planet.
For sure. That's crazy, man. Oh, and then I have to say Play-Doh, because it would dry. I mean, for in my experience, Play-Doh was so amazing, but then it would get stuck in the rug, and maybe that's not planned, but it does happen a lot because it's children and they're playing on the floor, right? my dad hated every Christmas whenever we got Play-Doh. He's like, God damn it. Like, he just knew what was gonna happen. And then for me personally, I've had to deal with cars just being built like shit, you know, or like, you know, built specifically where you have to bring it in to get worked on. Like, sure, it would have its breakdown or whatever, like any other car, but they would put in like some random ass iron bar in there. So you're like, oh wait, I can't lift the battery out, or you know, not the battery, but something else where you can't just get access like other vehicles. So you have to bring it in. I hated that so much. Like, for a while, I was thinking maybe learn how to fix cars, but like every year the cars change and it's harder and harder to work on. It sucks.
Yeah, and that kind of brings up a tangential topic that I've had on my list, but I think is kind of covered by this, is like the right to repair your equipment. Like, if my battery dies on my phone, do I have the right to replace it with a new battery? But like, the way they're built, you can't open them up and get the battery out even, or like, is it fair to lose your warranty if you take something apart to repair it? And I think that's a big thing in like the agriculture industry, like with like I think John Deere tractors and stuff not being allowed to repair your own farm equipment anymore, but you have to take it into a licensed dealer or a repair shop or whatever.
Wow. Was that always the case, or is this something new?
No, like it's pretty new because like like I feel like most farmers were also mechanics because they're just working on farm equipment all the time.
Wow. That is evil. You know, some stuff
Yeah.
bothers me, but that really bothers me.
Yeah, because I think like they make everything electronic now and they try to replace everything to make it run through a computer, so you can't just like replace like a part that would be like a chain or a pulley or gears or something like that. It's electronic, so it's like, well, in order to hook up to our system and get the new download, you have to have a subscription to this and, make sure you're up to date on your warranty, and then you'll have access to the new update to be able to, troubleshoot what your problem is and to be able to actually like fix this part. And like, there's certain electronic vehicles where just like the headlights, if your headlight goes out, you can't just replace a bulb. It's like tied into an entire circuit that goes through the car, and they're like, well, you got to take out the front seats and the back seats and get to this electrical panel that's
Jeez.
under the mat of the floor. And it's just like absolutely insane. It's horrible. Like that kind of stuff has to be outlawed in some way.
And that's so, man, just thinking of like Teslas and stuff now too, where there's like software updates that fix like bugs in like how the car operates. So, like how long are they going to keep providing updates for known flaws in vehicles?
Crazy. I propose a Segway challenge because mine isn't working. It's weird. Like, it's almost like clockwork.
This topic has become obsolete.
All
All right, I will finish off talking about my ambivalence to being a homeowner. I bought a house pretty early, like in my early 20s, and at the time, like I saw it as kind of a very important step towards financial independence. I always thought of, if you're renting, you're just spending money every month, but then you have like nothing to show for it. And like you could rent for 30 years and at the end you'd be out on the street. Whereas if you had a 30-year mortgage, you'd be a homeowner at the end. And like owning a house, I do feel like a sense of stability in in owning a piece of property with a house that, like, okay, if I lost my job, I would just have to cover my, insurance, or well, insurance, I guess, but also my property tax is what I meant to say. And then, which is a fraction of what rent would be, and I'll have a roof over my head. Where I'm kind of more skeptical now is the idea of a house being a good investment. You can get lucky, and if you buy in a time when the house market is booming, you could live in a place and then sell it for a profit later. But like just having now lived in the same place for like 16 or 17 years, and it's just like there's a lot of work to just keep it up and maintain it. Things deteriorate after over time through, planned or unplanned obsolescence. And like, sometimes you just want things in your house to be a certain way. And, like if you're gonna spend the money on that, you're like, you might know, like this is not an investment anymore. This is like, I'm just putting money into this thing that I'm never gonna get back. And I feel like that kind of mindset can maybe encourage you to just not make repairs that need to be done because you're like, oh, I don't want to put money into it. And then, that goes even more so if you're like a landlord and you're renting out your place to someone else. But I'm not even thinking about that, but just I think if you want to your home to be a good investment, you have to be willing to like do the work, like put, what they call it, sweat equity or whatever, like you're putting your effort into the value of the home. But then you also need to be someone who's talented enough that you do a good job at that thing. And like every time I do a house project, I feel like I'm okay at this thing by the end of it. And if I had to do another one, I could do a decent job. But the one I just did in my own home is just kind of, half-assed and not that great. Overall, I'm glad I own a home, and I do like the ability to make decisions on like doing whatever I want with my backyard and with my house or whatever. But I don't see it as black as white, black and white as I used to, where I'm like, oh, you need to be a homeowner, otherwise you're throwing money away. Like I don't necessarily see it that way anymore.
Wow, Dave, I will have barely anything to say to this. I just have questions for you guys, so go ahead, Dave.
I bought my first home in 2021. And everybody told me, like, don't buy it. This is a terrible time to buy a house because all the prices were so sky high. But the thing was, is the interest rates were like super cheap. So even though I paid a lot, the interest rate was so low that like right now I couldn't like sell my house and get a new one for the same price because my interest rate would be higher. So like I would be paying more for the same house just because of like the way interest works. Yeah, so like with like an investment, like my mom always told me, like, real estate was like the best investments she ever made. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you're a boomer. And when she's, in her late 60s, early 70s, I'm like, yeah, like if you bought a house for $30,000 in 1988, like, yeah, you sold it for like $100,000 like 10 years later. And that was great, but like it doesn't always work that way. Like I feel like for some people they can make a lot of money off of selling a house, but it really depends on when you get in and when you're gonna sell, and you can get lucky or you can get unlucky. And it's not like there are certain things you can do, like where you're gonna fix up your, like if you put a pool in your backyard or you put like a deck around like your back porch or something. Where you could invest like $20,000 into your home. and then, if you sold it. But I think it's always really crappy how like a lot of people will invest a lot of money into their house just to sell it. And it's like, I'm gonna put in $20,000 to try and like make an extra 40,000 when we sell it. And it's like, I feel like you should be putting money into your house so you can enjoy it, Like you should, if you're gonna put new cabinets in or redo a bathroom, you should be doing that so you can live in it the next 5 years and like kind of enjoy, whether you did it yourself or you paid someone else to do it. Because being a first-time homeowner a couple years ago, like as I am today, I don't have a whole lot of experience doing work on my house. So when I do something, like if I paint all my cabinets, I don't know what I'm doing. And then I'm figuring out as I go. So by the end of it, I kind of am good at it. But the problem was, is I wasn't good at it for like 80% of the job. It took me 80% of doing poorly to like middle of the road work to actually like kind of hone in on how to do it properly. And then by that time, I'm done with it. And also, like, I just have a disdain for doing it. And I'm like, I'm never painting cabinets again. That was miserable. I'm like, next time, I'm just gonna buy new ones. Like, I don't want to do it anymore because I'm like, I already put so much time into it. And like, I think my next thing is I want to fix like tile in the bathroom. But at the same time, I'm just like, I feel like, should I just pay an expert to do it? Like, it's really expensive. But is it worth it? And I will probably just like not do it. And I will just kind of sit and think about what's the best way to do it for years rather than make a decision because it's like I can live with it even if I don't fix it up. But yeah. And like, but when I go to sell my house, I'm gonna be like, dang, I wish I would have done that sooner.
So you could live with it and just ignore the wife's cries during the night. It's just like, you won't fix that damn tile. Man, so that's crazy because I think I announced on the podcast where I'm like, I plan on buying a house. Kind of like, I plan on being a parent. We're working on a kid. It was probably a bad idea to announce it like this is what I plan on doing because I've yet to like I want to study exactly what these terms are about interest and like is it a good time to buy a house now? I think James, a friend of ours of the show, he was planning on buying a house this year as well, or well, technically last year, and he was just like, dude, there's like it's shit now to do this right now. But I wanted to do it because, well, when you talk about like doing little things, working on the house, that kind of has an appeal to me a little bit because, like, hey, you get to learn things that, you've seen your dad do or your mom do and stuff, and maybe it's about time to pay attention and learn it yourself. But it is the other reason is just because rent goes up every fucking year, and I want to have a hold on that because, yeah, your rent can't go up, right? I mean, not your rent, but your mortgage payments, right?
No, as long
Oh,
as
they
you
can.
have a fixed interest rate, you're good. But yeah, if you get like a variable interest rate, then your interest rate can go up and then your mortgage payments also go up.
Ew. Why would anyone want
Yes,
that option?
you have to get it fixed.
Okay. Noted.
Like I've owned since for 4 years now, and every year my mortgage payment has gone up and I have a fixed
Oh.
APR. However, it doesn't go up a lot. However, with your loan, you're required to have homeowners insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's a
And
good point.
homeowners insurance always goes up every year. So, like,
What?
you pay
Oh my
towards the
God.
principal of your loan, you pay towards the interest, but then you also pay into like an escrow account. And that escrow account is going to, there's options. You don't have to do it this way. You could just pay your property tax and your insurance, like, separately and just have to do it that way. The way I have mine set up, but like my interest rate goes up, or not my interest rate, but my property tax goes up every year, not by a lot, maybe by like $120 or something, or $300 or whatever it is. So then like my mortgage payment, if it was $1,000, maybe it's $1,080 the next year, and then like $1,120 the next year.
That's
But that's because I have
crazy.
that stuff. I have that like built into my mortgage. There are different ways to do it, I realize, but I just kind of I haven't changed it. And I probably could shop around for cheaper homeowners insurance rather than paying State Farm, because I know State Farm, they just raise their rates like every year, and they just take advantage of people like me who are too lazy to like look around and like, hey, maybe I could get a better deal somewhere else.
Yeah, but what's it like hanging out with Jake?
Dang. Okay, so well, I have more questions, but I think I'll disperse those in deja fuse, I guess, because really it's the rising cost of living. It sucks, you know? That's one of the main reasons I wanted to get a house so that the prices will stop going up. So I'm gonna have to look more into this and make a decision, a good one. Yeah. Well, is that the show? Should we end it? I say we
So,
do. Yeah. Like, subscribe, comment if you're on YouTube. Go to a few goldilockbears.com. I was Vincent Cloud.
and make sure you follow, subscribe, whatever the terminology is in your favorite podcast app. I was John Nemitz.
I'm David Lauer. Thanks for listening.